thank you so much for joining us, Mark.
Thank you for having me.
We're chatting with Mark Lindquist because of an album that was put out last December, which we've heard some tunes on the local. It's called A Secret Garden. And do you want to tell us a little bit about that project, Mark, about how it came about?
Yeah. I work at Central Lakes College as an audio production and guitar instructor and also a basketball coach. I'm from the Duluth area. I had a record label there for maybe 10 years. I moved to the Brainerd area about 10 years ago. And I'm the faculty advisor to what we call the CLC Audio Club. And it's made of staff, students, and faculty who write original music, and I kind of show them how to record it. And we put out a compilation album every year, usually in a different format. We started with sort of the essential CD a few years ago, and then 2 years ago we put out a vinyl record. And this year, because of COVID, we just decided to do, you know, a streamed album. There are some advantages to that. This year also we added bands from outside the college. There wasn't a ton of students on campus to work with for the audio club, so I invited some of my old friends from Duluth, the band Low, I'm sure a lot of people have heard from, but other people like Blake Shippey and Trampled by Turtles, some friends from Minneapolis and Austin, Texas, and people I've kind of known throughout the years in the music industry, but they kind of all have ties to Duluth, so it's a lot of my students here at the Brainerd campus at Central Lakes College, mixed with my old punk rock buddies from Duluth.
Yeah, it's a cool mixture of music and kind of a great snapshot for us of some people who are still in Duluth and some people who have maybe moved on either down to the cities like Dave Mayling or, yeah, some other ones that are still going. I know the Low song, I saw mention that maybe it would be coming out in a different form.
I'm not allowed to talk much about it.
Okay, well,
don't tell anybody what I'm about to say. No, it's a demo. He was demoing some songs, and he was generous enough to send that song, and it's just gorgeous. Days Like These, and it sounds so good as a demo. I can only imagine what it's going to sound like. Done in a professional setting with producers and on that beautiful Sub Pop vinyl. I think he recorded this at home, and I had a deadline. I had to kind of have this thing ready, and his little Dropbox email came to me about 6 hours before my final deadline, and I was so happy to have it. And it's one of my favorite tracks, really, by Low, but also one of my favorite tracks off this album.
Yeah, it's really cool just to hear all these artists in that very intimate kind of demo form.
Yeah, the idea was to kind of show students that, you know, ultimately that I don't feel they have to go to a $1 million studio to be overproduced and be told what to do. A lot of these were home recordings or basement recordings, or in Trampled by Turtles' case, kind of a personal recording. They told me this was one of the first songs, even though it was done in a professional studio with a professional engineer, that they had produced themselves. And that was kind of the reason that song, We All Get Lonely, got on this album. But my particular song on there and my student songs, these were mobile recordings done on laptops or cassette 4-tracks, and then eventually mastered up in Duluth by Eric Swanson.
Yeah, that seems like a really great lesson for your students, that even some of these international artists like Low, it all kind of starts out as a demo somewhere.
Yeah, and I think there's part of me that almost prefers the sound of a well-done, earnest demo tape to something that's glossy and, you know, maybe overproduced. Where the vocals, obviously people talk about the auto-tuning, but it can go a lot deeper than that being overproduced, you know.
Switching gears a little bit, how does the emergency fund that this album benefits, how does that work exactly? Do you want to go into that in a little greater detail?
That's a good question. I actually turned that part of it off on the Bandcamp, but the albums are free to download and to stream. it has a pay what you want, I guess you'd call it, button, and you can donate money. That money goes into what's called the CLC Foundation, and they have an account for students who are in emergency need of money. It may be some sort of medical bill. It may be some sort of, they just need to get their car fixed so they can get to class. There's a fund for that for the college students, and especially during COVID, it's essential. So we raised some money through this album, and that those donations go directly, well, not directly, but they go, they, all everything given goes into that fund.
And then that is there for the students
and then when
to
students,
use.
We, I'll give you an example. There was a student, a guitar student of mine whose house burnt down in January. All his books and musical instruments were destroyed in the fire. We used the CLC Emergency Fund to replace those books and musical instruments so he could continue going to class.
Wow, that is a really nice thing to have. It's really nice to see that this program is there at the Central Lakes College and working to help encourage music in students. Are many of your students, are they coming to you from a very musical background, or?
Well, it's, I guess, at a community college, and I'll call it a rural area, we get all sorts. We do have people that have been playing music their whole life. I have students that are complete beginners who have never picked up an instrument before. But, you know, once you get them going and kind of combine some technique with some creative approach, they realize pretty quickly that they can contribute in some way to a music project. We have students that come from out of state and a lot of student athletes that come from out of state, and it's really fun to watch them take music classes for the first time or to get into audio production, something that they didn't realize that they were interested in. I kind of remind people, you know, we've all been listening to music since we were probably 3 years old. So we all have opinions on music. So with those two things, you are kind of halfway there to a little bit of audio production and, you know, either taking the class or signing up for the club. It's fun to learn that kind of stuff and apply it to your own music and other people's, your friends' music. And we all, and I like to be project-based. That is something to me. I don't want to have students just sit and read a textbook. I like to be, have their hands on something that they're working on. So when you're project-based, I think it makes it a lot more fun for students that don't come from a music background, necessarily. I know the class goes a lot quicker when we're doing a lab. Tomorrow, for example, we're taking a colleague of mine's high school rock band tape from, I think, 1991 or 1992. And converting that to a digital format for him. He hasn't heard it because he hasn't owned a cassette player for 20 years. So he just found the cassette player in a shoebox somewhere. We found a cassette player here on campus, and now we're going to convert that to an MP3 for him tomorrow. So we like to take on projects, and that can be people that come from a musical background. Most of my students, to be honest with you, have not taken a lot of music classes before they get to us. So I put it this way, they have no bad habits.
Yeah, that's nice to start with.
They'll do what I tell them.
That's helpful. And it just sounds so fun to have. The only labs that I ever knew from my school days were in like chemistry labs. It just sounds like if your lab is in a studio, that would be so fun.
When everything's working, it is fun. You know, those digital software recording programs can come with some technical difficulties, but it's always fun to also just have some cassette four tracks laying around. But I sort of base the club and the classes on things I wish I would have had in college back 30 years ago. I had to learn a lot of my audio production from making mistakes in my basement or just trying to copy what I saw in another studio and somehow put that together, wire it together in my basement. And I really didn't know what I was doing. And I feel kind of like, how did I even put out my first 7 inches that I recorded myself? Because I clearly, that is not how I teach it these days. So it's definitely based around some mistakes I made as a young audio engineer.
I've had a friend who talked to me about with how many different music softwares there are, even free ones that are, you know, just of a really high quality compared to what people had access to, you know, 10, 15 years ago. And they were saying it would be nice if public schools started to teach, you know, the basics of audio software or audio engineering alongside things like choir and recorder. He thought that was going to be the future just because of how easy it is. What do you think about that?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that because we've had conversations. We're also, as a college, we're also surprised that high schools don't, when they maybe make a new performance arts center, do not include audio production or audio recording in those plans. But we also, you know, a lot of high school students around here sign up for college when they're a junior, and it's called PSEO students, and they take college classes here on campus. And I see an interest in, especially in beat making.
Yep.
And I just purchased 2 turntables and a mixer to kind of accommodate students who are really into making beats. I mean, that's an old school archaic way to do it, but I like to start there before we get into the EDM electronic beats. And I don't know why high schools aren't incorporating that. I think there's, you know, they're fighting for budgets anyway to keep the music programs alive. Where I think in colleges, a lot of the fine arts programs are much more celebrated and given a lot more opportunity. I don't know that for a fact, but that's my opinion.
Yeah, that seems like an accurate assessment of it. Well, I guess beyond music production and the playing of instruments, you mentioned that you had a record label in Duluth, Shaky Ray Records. Is there any music business being taught there as well?
Other than don't go into it? No. Yeah, a little bit, because, you know, when we put together these albums, they kind of get an idea, you know, for vinyl, you have to master that a different way. For vinyl, you have to find an A side and a B side and have the correct amount of time on each side. And even the cover template that you do for the art is different. So the little things that are hands-on, I shouldn't say little, but the hands-on thing, as far as business, I probably am not qualified to teach any sort of music business class. You know, I think we have a budget and we stay within that. But I don't know. I'm not the qualified, but anyone that knows me from Duluth knows that we were kind of lucky to break even on projects. We did ours more as fun, just see if we can do it, and then we quickly moved on to the next record. And I sort of regret a lot of times when I put out records in Duluth, you know, we'd spend some time recording it, we'd put it out, and 2 weeks later I was working on the next record for somebody, and I kind of wish I could have spent more time with just one good record at a time and maybe spent a few months promoting those. And I don't know, I thought at that time maybe just putting a ton of stuff out was more important than putting out one quality album. And I think I've come full 180 on that. I kind of wish I would have done that the complete opposite. But my students, you know, we work with deadlines. That's a big one for me. Maybe by Thanksgiving, we have to have all the songs recorded. By Christmas, we have to have them mixed. By January 1st, we have to have them mastered, and they have to be shipped to whoever makes the vinyl or the CD, or have to be arranged in Bandcamp by, you know, mid-January. And then we usually, before COVID, would have a release party sometime in March around spring break. So there are these little deadlines that my students sort of got used to, and it made them get things done, because if they're not done, the album's not coming out, or it's going to be late coming out, or you're going to be over budget. Outside of that, there wasn't much, you know, great business insight. I didn't have any tricks, and have less and less phone numbers or people, you know, that they could call. Yeah. But I have had some students move on from the club and start playing their own gigs, start kind of putting together their own bands and albums, and that's sort of exciting to watch them take whatever they learned in the audio club or in the audio production courses and apply that to something they, for now, you know, can dream big and do on the weekends. And then there's also some students that take, you know, they're not on the creative side, they're more on the technical side, and they take that stuff and they start becoming sound engineers for live music clubs or even their church or weddings, stuff like that. So it's kind of fun to watch them, you know, if you're teaching somebody something and they can put it into practice, that's very rewarding.
Yeah, it makes me wonder if when we come out of this pandemic, people's maybe live performance will be a little rusty, but everyone's just going to be working away on the computer and their production skills are going to be way up high.
Maybe everyone's just been rehearsing really well at home, and we hit the stage, it's going to be awesome.
Cool, yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Mark. And once again, the project's called A Secret Garden. It can be found on Bandcamp, and all proceeds are going to help students with an emergency fund at the Central Lakes College. It's been fun to talk to you, and thank you for really doing some good work for us here in Duluth. Even though you are not here anymore, you collected a lot of our favorite artists and got them to put out some wonderful demos that we've been enjoying alongside the music from you and your students as well.
Well, thank you, Malachi, and thank you, member-supported KUMD.